Hasn't been a bad week. Felt perhaps like the beginning of a new chapter to my life. I don't know. Things have certainly seemed a lot better between Ari and I. In the days that I've been back off the road, we've taken Amelia to various different story times at libraries and bookshops, which has been a lot of fun. I also babysat while Ari went out one evening, so was flying solo for about 6 hours, and Amelia survived. Still find myself fearful of, and in some ways beholden to, Ari's moods, but again, to flog a dead horse, that's my own choice. It's my unconventional life. Nice. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it's an examination of what happened when I tried to love and be a parent outside of society's norms. But most of all, hopefully, it's an honest, unapologetic, and insightful journey into my genuine desire to be my most authentic, peaceful, and positive self in the world. Sponsored by no one. Every week I detail my own journey as a parenting partner, a lover, and a friend, and occasionally discuss my untraditional views and aspirations with other people too. Ultimately though, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in the world today? Nice. Kind. Those seem to be words that apply to me a lot, along with depressing, perhaps. I don't know. But as much as I feel it's a new chapter of my life now, perhaps, now that I'm getting settled in my new place, I also feel like I'm in no rush to move on in my life. But there are some moments also that I tell myself, no, life is short. Don't put it on hold. Live it now. And I am with Amelia, being a parent. It's the other aspects of my life that have largely been postponed. I certainly don't have the time or really desire to date. So, if and when, there I go again, I feel ready and the time is right and I grow a set of testicles, I think perhaps maybe it'd be best to have a lover. Not something transactional or impersonal, and friends with benefits is such a cliche. I mean a lover, in the classical sense. Is that really that unfeasible? I did see this article online recently in the Washington Post by a woman called Sherry Day Scott, entitled, I Want a Lover, Not a Boyfriend. I'll read you it. I'm 39, single, easy on the eyes, easy to get along with, and good in bed. And I can't get laid. I'm not looking for a boyfriend or a husband. I want a lover. I want to have consistently good sex with someone I like and respect, who likes and respects me without the trappings of domesticity. That might change, or it might not. But in this moment of my life, when I'm juggling projects and co-parenting, I simply want good sex on a regular basis with a side of good conversation, the occasional out-of-bed adventure, and special occasion date. And this has proven more difficult to find than you might think. I have a few theories on this, the foremost being that men simply do not believe women have the ability to compartmentalize sex. We can. It is possible for us to have sex without falling deeply, stupidly in love. And those of us who really do enjoy sex, who consider it a meditative exercise when done right, we definitely can compartmentalize sex. But it takes two. Despite my best efforts to communicate clearly about what I'm looking for, the men I've chosen as lovers start to feel some type of way. Suddenly sex is no longer enough. They think they want more, until they realize a woman who wants a lover is not going to play by the same rules as a woman who is looking for a more domestic arrangement. I've polled my council of platonic male friends on the matter, and their consensus is it's all about control. After a certain age, a man gets used to being pursued, especially if he's a good catch. So the notion that a single woman, of also a certain age, is uninterested in locking him down is foreign and intriguing, until it becomes frustrating and annoying, and then the bed piece we've created is gone. This scenario has played out twice since I've been looking for a lover. Both times with men I would have sworn had player hearts of ice. We meet, we mingle, we agree that the occasional role in the set would be delightful. A month later, we're finding out who texted whom last and whether emoji count as adult communication. I'm no innocent in these bad romances. Good sex clouded my mind, made me forget why I chose whom I chose. So when they pushed with more, I went with it despite knowing that I lacked the time, energy or inclination to maintain a committed relationship. Good sex and a happy relationship aren't synonymous. It took me two times to learn that lesson. So I'm going on dates now with men whom I like and respect, who like and respect me back, a few of whom I'd really like to see naked. And nothing. Great dates, lots of laughing, drinking, dancing, all the things you might think would result in a nightcap of nookie, and I'm lucky if I can get a good night kiss. I've gone back to my board of male advisors because this is definitely not how I imagine post-divorce life. Baby girl, one began as he shook his head in amusement, they're nice guys. They're going to take it slow because they like and respect you. You're going to have to make the move. Except I'm gun shy about making moves. And to be honest, I'm not sure what move I want to make. Being direct hasn't served me well. No man trusts it when a woman says, let's keep it casual, said another homeboy. Neither is going with the flow. Men are people too, a third told me. No one likes feeling used. My mistake in the past, I think, was to couch the conversation in seduction. I was upfront about what I was looking for, in between sex, about when and where and how, but what man is listening and processing when thinking of sex? The alternative is to take a more formal approach. Here's what I'm looking for from the relationship. Text yes or no if you agree. Or should I say nothing and let ignored calls and texts set the tone? That's what I can't wrap my head around. How do you keep a sexual relationship light and compartmentalized without someone feeling used in the end? Is it even possible? Is the notion of a lover, as in sunny afternoons spent making love and harboring little expectations beyond that, a fantasy? I grapple with these questions. Pondering them occupies more of my time than it should. I'm 39, single, easy on the eyes, easy to get along with, and good in bed. And I can't get laid. It makes you think, doesn't it? About the whole notion of sex as grown-up, older people, and how it so often comes with complications. I think growing up in England, I'd learnt to hide sex. I know I did. Not to be ashamed of it per se, but certainly not to revel in it or be proud of it, of what can be a beautiful thing in and of itself. Even outside of a traditional relationship, the mere fact of connecting with another human being in that way, without any contracts or conflicts or complications. And I realise I'm almost wholly to blame for how little of that I've had compared to the monogamous relationship type. I went through my old storage unit this week and saw all these pictures and love letters and drawings that I'd made for the various long-term monogamous girlfriends that I'd had. It's pretty clear that I made them fall in love with me. Not duplicitously, not to trick them, because that was what I thought I wanted. It became my nature early on, I guess because I was in love with being in love with girls. You can say what you want. People respond to how you act. I was assured by friends at the non-monogamy meetup that I went to recently that there are women who will be able to be comfortable in non-monogamous relationships and not fall in love and want more exclusivity. I've just yet to meet them. But to play devil's advocate, I was the one who suggested being monogamous with Eri. I mean, who knows what would have happened if I'd stuck to my guns and my boundaries. I didn't need to have sex with other people, but I could have, and arguably should have, been clearer about my intentions consistently and established my boundaries. I'm clearly not good about that. And that is why, probably, I've spent the last decade or so of my life trying to avoid monogamous relationships. Now, Amelia is my number one priority. and there's no obligation there. It's simple, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's what I want my life to be. But beyond that, I do have a need for sexual connection and expression, just like everyone. But I have neither the time or the patience for any hassle or grief to experience it. I don't think anyone really does. In some ways, I just want to be left alone. I've been reading Mark Manson's book Models again recently, and I've realized how needy I am in terms of how much importance I place on other people's opinions of me versus my opinion of myself. I have low self-esteem. There, I said it. I think most people do. Our culture perhaps cultivates it. But even beyond that, I remember the first time I ever really fell in love or had a crush, call it whatever you will. I met her at tennis lessons when I was 15, and when she hit a forehand, something primal moved inside me. We became friends, best friends, but being a virgin, no, actually, having never even made out with a girl, I was absolutely petrified of taking things further. So it took me about a year, which is a long time at that age, to finally summon up the courage to tell her that I liked her more than friends. But I did it in such a pathetic, uncomfortable way, and any spark of potential romance had gone by then anyway, that I'll never forget what happened. No sooner had I got the words out that she dropped her head and then came back up and said, "I wish you hadn't said that, because we'll never be such good friends again." You don't forget that stuff easily. She was right. I got so bad at points that she even began avoiding me completely. Now, years later, we did make out on a star-filled night in the back garden of her childhood home in that small village, which was wonderful. And then years after that, we did actually hook up after a drunken night out when I was back from America, but we were both very different people by then and were perhaps making love to the ghosts of who we once were. What a poetic way of putting it. Anyway, that stuff sticks with you. And if I'm honest and look back at a lot of my life, it really does seem like a toil between loving girls and being pathologically unable to express that love in a fulfilling way. Admiring girls, obsessing over them, while being afraid of them. Or, to quote a friend, putting the pussy on a pedestal. Call it what you will, it's been an integral part of my life as an adult and who I am. Or, as Darren Brown might say, it's a story about myself that I've told and manifested, perhaps. God, you can talk and think about it forever. And that is certainly what I do. Breath. Can I just live? I'll see you next week. Well, that's another week gone. And everyone, a blessing. Every day, every moment. So, I appreciate you spending any of yours listening to this. Drop me a line to myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully a little joy too. But either way, until then, wherever you are and whoever you are with, be kind to yourself and to others. Is perhaps the simplest way to make this world a better place. Hello.